Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC.
And this is the best animated shows ever, so far. This is welcome to the new format for the best animated shows ever so far. It's a Idol Champions Let's Play. That's Pokemon. I thought you were playing Idol Champions in the background while we were starting. You were pulling up the episode.
No.
That's more appropriate.
I am still playing Idol Champions.
Damn it, MC. This is the show where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever, eventually. And today, and for the next couple weeks, we are going to be talking about Pokemon Indigo League, which was not called that when the show came out, right? It was just called Pokemon.
But I'm guessing with all the new ones that have come out, and Netflix wanted this league and that league. And it makes a lot of sense to call it Indigo League because that's what it is.
Yeah, and it gives us the opportunity to talk about a lot of Pokemon because we can talk about the next league as a new show. But this one is Indigo League. This is the start of the Pokemon animated series. And for behind the scenes stuff for this, I think it only makes sense to talk about Pokemon games. Go ahead.
Especially with how the show opens up.
Oh my gosh. It opens up with a Game Boy fight. But we'll talk about it. We'll get there. Pokemon started development. The first game came out in 1996, but it actually its existence started well before that. There's a guy named... See, this is why I need notes, MC. Named Satoshi Tajiri, who... he was put off by children growing up in urban environments, and he wanted to give them the feeling that he had as a kid of collecting bugs. He specifically said he was inspired by seeing the Game Boy Link cable for connecting two Game Boys together, and he just had this image of insects crawling back and forth between the two Game Boy systems, and that is the spark of inspiration from which Pokemon was spawned, was the idea of bugs crawling across link cables. Now I say that it's older than you might realize because the game came out in 1996, but development actually started on it in 1990. So this game, he got together with Shigeru Miyamoto and they started actually developing the game in 1990. That surprised me. I always think of Pokemon as something that came out when I was a kid, but it was being developed the year after I was born. It started being developed. So let's see. There are the core Pokemon games are games where you play as a character going around a world, capturing and battling Pokemon. But there are also a ton of spin-off games. Which leads me to my pop quiz question. Is MC, how many Pokemon games are there, including spin-offs? He's counting. He's counting on his fingers. He better have a lot of fingers to make that work.
I'm gonna guess 45.
122?
Damn!
There's so many Pokemon games. There might be 45 mainline Pokemon games at this point. Wait, okay.
I was going on, all the mainline games, but I could only think of, three or four side games at this point.
Okay, so let's talk about some side games. What's the ones that you could think of? What are your favorite side games?
Pokemon Puzzle.
Uh-huh, Pokemon Puzzle League is a good one.
Yeah, Snap.
Yeah, oh, the best. You take pictures of the Pokemon, they're so cute.
Yep. Pokemon Go.
Uh-huh. Obviously.
Yeah. There's another Pokemon, like, dance game or something?
I think there's a dance one. There's a couple of... there was a racing game.
Yeah.
I think called Pokemon Rush. There's the whole Pokemon Mystery Dungeon series, which has, I think, like,
did not know about that.
I think those ones are, like... I mean, I think they're dungeon crawlers. I've never played them, but I'm pretty sure they're, like... I think they're, like, hack-and-slash dungeon crawler games, but you play as
Pokemon. So you mean every cave system in Pokemon ever?
Yeah. But action games. There's one called Pokemon Conquest that takes place in, like, a feudal era version of the Pokemon world, and it's a Fire Emblem game, but with Pokemon. I've played that one a little bit. It's weird.
That sounds cool.
It's weird. There are a ton of Pokemon games. It is a huge franchise. This show started way back when there was just one Pokemon game, let me think of how to say this. It started when there was just one... It's not even one entry. There were three Pokemon games, because in Japan, Red, Blue, and Green all came out at the exact same time. And then the next one that came out was Pokemon Yellow, which was kind of a recreation of Red, Blue, Green with some tweaks. And Pokemon Yellow was actually specifically inspired by the TV show, not the other way around.
Yes. So in Pokemon Yellow, which is only a little bit different from the Red, Blue, and Green,
uh-huh.
is that you start off with Pikachu, and he follows you around.
Right. Which
this
the
is
show,
the first game. Yeah.
The show kind of has that game. Idea of him following you around, which is now like a very common thing in the main Pokemon games.
Yeah. But it was the first time that happened, and it didn't happen again in the next one, I don't think.
No, Gold and Silver, I don't think had that. I actually don't know when the next one that had that was. I know I'm doing a playthrough of Heart Gold right now. I'm doing a Nuzlocke run for it over on my other podcast, Turtle Power Presents, the Power Playthroughs podcast with Turtle Power. And in Heart Gold, it has that mechanic where whichever Pokemon is in the lead spot in your party follows you around. But I do not believe that was in the original game.
I don't know when that
actually started.
I have Gold. So I know it's not in that one, I don't think. But I remember playing a lot of Yellow.
Yellow is definitely one I spent a lot of time with. I got that game. My mom got it for me on my way to an appointment to have some oral dental surgery done. And so I was playing it in the car. That was my, like, this is going to suck. Here, have a new video game. Because my mom was awesome. My mom is awesome. So I was playing Pokemon. And then So Pokemon games all start off with, like, you go and you choose your Pokemon, and then you, like, run around through the town, and they send you somewhere to the next town, and then you come back, and they're like, all right, cool, here's a Pokeball, I'm gonna teach you how to catch Pokemon. And the dentist was, like, called me back in the cool, we're gonna teach you how to catch Pokemon part, and I hadn't saved yet, and so it's like, I can't turn it off, I need to save before I do this, you can't make me turn it off. So I had to slightly delay my oral dental appointment thing in order to save my Pokemon game.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I understand that, being only a few years older than you.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was 10 or 11 when I first got the first Pokemon game.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
And I remember playing a lot of it all the way up until I was about 14 or 15, and I sort of dropped off for a while, and then I came back later again when the DS came out. I went and got a DS and I started playing Pokemon again.
You know, I have not really been as invested in a Pokemon game since Gen 3 was, I think, Ruby and Sapphire, and that's the last one that I really put a ton of time into. I played all the DS ones Or I played at least a game from each generation on the DS, I believe. And then the 3DS, I've got Sun or Moon. I don't remember which is mine and which is my wife's. But yeah, none of them have really grabbed my attention quite the same way as those early ones did. I'm really excited for the new one, though. I'm picking up Pokemon Shield. I already got my reservation down. But I'm not going to start playing it until the kid is born. That's my plan, is that's going to be my sitting up with the kid game. When I have to, like, I'm like, I can't sleep because baby's crying. I'll sit there and hold baby and play Pokemon. And it'll be great.
I've been really thinking about getting a Switch just so I can play it.
Yeah, man. Grookey for life.
Like, one other thing is even with the DS, I didn't put, like, a super amount of time into them. Mm-hmm. I played them, but I don't think I even got to Sun and Moon. I might have. I played, like, little bits of it, I got probably more time in X or XY. Mm-hmm. I can't remember which one I have. I played all the way through that, and then the next one,
Is that Black and White after that?
Yeah, I think it was Black and White. I was playing through those. And I got about 3/4 or, a fair way through. It was, I wasn't quite up to, their Champions League yet, but, the top tier guys, I didn't go into that. I think I had just beat, the final gym, or I was about to go into the final gym, and I sort of stopped, I lost interest.
That's so close to the end.
Yeah, I know. it happens sometimes with games. I have multiple games that I'm, like, 3/4 of the way through the game.
Mm-hmm.
Or 3/4 of the way leveling up my character. And I'll just stop playing it. And I'll be like, oh, I'll go back to that later.
Someday. Eventually. Maybe. Probably not. Should we get into it?
Yeah.
All right, this is Pokemon Indigo League, Episode 1, Pokemon I Choose You. It originally aired in Japan on April 1st, 1997, in the U.S. on September 8th, 1998. Never tells me when it aired in Australia on these notes, but I always assume it's the same as the U.S. air date. Probably not, but that's my assumption.
Probably close to, yeah.
So you want to talk about that opening? The opening shot?
Yeah, sure. It's Nidoran and Ghastly in a very Game Boy-esque cutscene. Mm-hmm. And then it sort of morphs into animation. Mm-hmm. And it becomes this fight between them. And then Nidoran gets beat and gets called back into the Pokeball. And then another Pokeball is thrown out, and then it cuts to Ash being, like, pretending he's a real big-time trainer in his bedroom.
I love it.
You see him doing his classic turning his hat backwards, and then his mum comes in and tells him off that he's staying up too late and that he needs to get to bed. Because he's starting his... He's all excited because his Pokemon journey starts tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And his mom's like, well, if you want to get up in time, you better get to bed now, sort of thing.
I love this opening bit. I mean, Ash is great from the very beginning. But even before you get to Ash, seeing that fight between... I gotta correct you. I'm sorry. It's not a Ghastly. It's a Gengar. For shame.
Oh.
Damn
it. It is a Gengar.
Seeing the fight between them is so cool because I watched this show after having played the game a fair bit, and it was like all of a sudden you were seeing what a Pokemon fight looked like, because that's not what they look like in the game. In the game, they mostly just stand there and shake a little bit, and then the other one gets hurt. And it was like you watch this opening battle, and you're like, man, someday that's what Pokemon fights are going to look like in the games. And you know what? They don't. They still don't look like that, even in the new ones. That are coming up, they still don't look nearly as cool as they do in that animation, but it's still awesome. It's so cool to see, like, the realization of what those could look like. Yeah. And then... go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they will ever get round to that. I think if we're going to get a Pokemon game in VR, that's when we might see more battles like we see them in the show.
So, MC, I have a question for you, because I know how you're always on the phone with your uncle who works at Nintendo, getting all the hot scoops and inside deets, and I have a question for you.
That's Nintendo, not true at all, everyone.
Nintendo has released a VR Labo kit for the Switch. You can play the Switch in VR. It's a little cardboard thing. The Switch goes into it. It's got the lenses in there. You hold it up. VR on your Switch. Why is there not a Pokemon Snap game that you play in VR? What does your uncle have to say about that?
I just want to iterate that I don't have an uncle at Nintendo. Just so everyone knows this, and Troy's being facetious. But if I am to play this game, I'm going to say it would be very dangerous.
But not more so than any other VR game.
Imagine how much walking you do in Pokemon.
But Pokemon Snap, you don't walk around. It's on. You're in a little car.
And then the throwing.
You don't... you do throw apples. You do throw apples.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like, can you imagine how many people are going to get hit in the face?
But you just map that to a button. Cause have you seen the Switch VR thing? You hold the whole Switch up to your face. Like this. There's no... It's not a headset that straps on. It's just the thing you hold up to your face. But so that means you have your hands on the controller. So just make...
Yeah.
You know, take a picture on this button and shoot an apple. They could do it, MC. You... Listen, next time you talk to your uncle, I need you to tell him that Troy and the internet said that there should be a Pokemon Snap game for Labo VR.
You know what's going to happen is if that was actually a thing, you would have to look up to throw the apples.
Like, flick your head up?
Yeah, like...
I like that we're both doing the motion. It's a podcast.
No, like what I'm saying is, even if it's, like, clicking the button, remember in old Snap how people would, like, perfectly time and aim the apple so they would land perfectly? You would have to start learning all that stuff again, because you would have to have a specific angle before hitting the button.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, you're right. But that would be cool. I want this game. What's Uncle Nintendo's name?
I'm guessing Uncle Nintendo.
Okay, next time you talk to Uncle Nintendo, you let him know from me that they should make that.
This is funny, but, so, back to the show, Ash finally does get to sleep.
Yep. He says he's turning 10 years old tomorrow, so he's going to start his Pokemon journey, and that means that he gets to choose from Bulbasaur, or Squirtle, or Charmander. And then he drifts off to sleep.
Yep, and, in the middle of the night, the Voltorb toy that he was playing with earlier falls into his hand, and it's clear that he throws it across his room.
Important note. It's not a toy. It's his alarm clock.
He chucks it
across the room in his sleep, pretending it's a Pokeball, as he dreams about which Pokemon he's going to choose. And I love these dreams. I love that he's having these dreams about which Pokemon he's going to choose. Because, like, as a kid who... So Red and Blue, I didn't know about before they came out. Like, I saw Jimmy, this kid I knew at school, playing Pokemon in the library. That was the first time I ever knew what Pokemon was. But then after that, like, I watched all the news about all the Pokemon games. And I've had those dreams where I'm, like, dreaming about which starter I'm going to choose when the new game comes out. And that's what Ash is doing. It's adorable.
So... I had a similar experience. I think we probably all did with the first Pokemon game, where there was one person who had the game, And then everyone had the game, like, 2 or 3 weeks later.
Right, yeah. Same with Pokemon cards when those came around. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Pokemon cards are a thing. Oh, my gosh.
I don't have any.
MC, when we were talking about spinoff games, we didn't mention the Pokemon trading card game for the Game Boy Color. I love the Pokemon trading card game for the Game Boy Color.
I never played it.
Really? It was very good. It was,
I had no interest in the cards whatsoever as a kid. I was all about the video games. It was weird because I had all these friends who had, like, major collections and stuff of them. Like, I had a few friends who had all 150 and, like, a few holographic, cards and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I had no interest in collecting cards whatsoever. And so when the card game, video game came out, I was just like, why? Sort of thing. Like, all my friends had, like, collections and stuff. I didn't. Although then when Yu-Gi-Oh cards came out, I got, like, a whole bunch of them for some reason. I think my mom was just like, oh, you watch this show. Here you go. And I think they were, like, mostly rip-off packs, but that was still Yu-Gi-Oh card sort of thing.
Your mom was like, I don't know, you're a heckin' nerd. Here, have some Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Yeah.
So Ash wakes up late and he runs down to Professor Oak's lab, and there's a huge crowd outside, all cheering for Gary.
Well, he is Professor Oak's grandson.
But he's a douche nozzle. He's such a chum bucket. He's the worst. I hate him so much.
And he refuses to show Ash his Pokemon. And this is where the rivalry starts. And then Oak comes out and he's like, oh, you're a bit late.
And he's like, all what Professor the heck Oak. Happened to you? Why are you wearing pajamas? What's wrong with you, child? Clearly you're not responsible enough to be put in charge of the well-being of a small animal. Oh, wait. Nah, I'm Professor Oak. I don't care. Here, have one.
And then he goes to choose, and yes, all of them are gone because he did wake up late, and everyone else got there on time, and he's out of luck. And Professor Oak's like, "Yep, those went to kids who arrived on time."
Then he's all, "I do have." One Pokemon, but it's kind of messed up. It's, like, kind of messed up. And Ash is like, I don't care. Give me it. And he's like, okay, but it's kind of messed up. And he's like, that's fine.
Yeah.
And thus, Ash gets Pikachu.
Yep.
Who shocks him immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Right away. Happens several times this episode. But he's got a Pokemon now, and that's very exciting. And his mom's all proud of him. She's like, you're setting off on your Pokemon journey. I've packed you some fresh underpants and a clothesline to hang your underpants on and some rubber gloves to do the dishes with. And she's packed him all this stuff. And he's like, Mom, you're embarrassing me. And I'm like, hey, Ash, your mom's trying to look out for you, man. You're a 10-year-old. A 10-year-old who's going to go wander in the wilderness fighting wild animals for a while. Let your mom dote on you a little bit, dude. I don't like his attitude.
Oh, no. And then Pikachu is all, like, aloof and stuff when the crowd's there.
Yeah, I think this is where she's like, why isn't your Pokemon in a Pokeball?
Yeah. He just keeps knocking the Pokeball back at him. It's hilarious.
Pikachu's got so much sass. He's the sassiest Pokemon.
And Ash's mom is just like, oh, how cute, your friends, you're playing catch.
I'm gonna make a Pikachu design that has a Pikachu and it's gonna say electric sass type instead of electric mouse type.
Oh, I still have the electric mouse shirt design you had made ages ago.
Wait, which one? Oh, is that the Batman one?
Yeah,
the Pikachu as Batman. Yeah. So then they set off on their journey.
Oh, the best bit is right before they set off on their journey is, oh, those rubber gloves your mum gave you are going to come in handy by Professor Oak. And then you cut to him walking with Pikachu tied up with the gloves on.
It's so sad when he ties the Pikachu up. Aww.
Yeah.
Pikachu doesn't want to be on a leash. So, what just happened, MC?
So Ash is trying to communicate with Pikachu, and he's like doing the Pika Pika thing, and he's like, just open your mouth and tell me what you want, and Pikachu just opens his mouth really wide.
I missed that.
Yeah.
Do they, what's the first, is it the Pidgey, or no, it's a Rattata, right? That they meet first?
No, they meet Pidgey first, then Rattata, then Spearow.
Yeah, so all this while, Ash is using his Pokédex, which he just pops it open and it says helpful things, usually in a very sassy voice, because even everything has sass against Ash in this world. Everything is sassy. But so he's like, all right, we're going to try and catch this Pidgey. And Pikachu's like, nah, I'm not interested. And then Ash is like, oh, I see another one. It's over there through the bushes. I'll throw a rock at it for some reason. You jerk. Don't throw rocks at wild animals, Ash. But he hits it. Well, but it turns out it's not a Pidgey. It's a Spearow.
Well, first he, like, just tries to catch the Pidgey, and it breaks out of a Pokeball.
Mm-hmm.
And, then he tries to jump on top of the Pidgey with his pajama top, and it does whirlwind, and he goes flying, and he runs into the Rattata, which is where he gets the rock, I think. And and he tries to throw the rock at the three Pidgeys who pop out of nowhere, and he accidentally hits Spearow.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. He's really excited actually about
it. He's so proud of himself for pegging a small bird in the head with a rock.
Yeah, and for those who don't know any lore about Pokemon, Spearow is the kind of opposite of Pidgey. Pidgey is kind of relaxed and easy to catch, whereas Spearows are kind of aggressive and angry and harder to catch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so...
Ash uses rock throw, and it's not very effective. And then Spearow uses, hey, did you see what this fool just did to me? And it's super effective because that move summons like a cloud of Spearows, like so many Spearows all come flying out at once to attack Ash and his Pikachu.
First, the first Spearow who was hit with the rock sees Pikachu and decides to just randomly attack him.
Oh, because apparently,
some wild Pokemon don't like trained Pokemon, and this is when Pikachu zaps the first Spearow, and that's why he calls for backup.
Pretend that same joke that I said, except for the first part of it, is Pikachu uses Thundershock instead of Ash uses Rock Throw, and then all the same bit after that. okay. So now Ash and Pikachu are on the run from a whole horde of Spearow. We get a Rattata cameo in this part. We also see Sandshrew. I love Sandshrew. Yep. He's one of my favorites. Is there a Mankey in this part?
Yeah. They're up in the tree.
When I was taking notes. They're running. They can't get away. Ash is like, I'll protect you, Pikachu. And Pikachu's like, sweet, peace. And outruns Ash. And then Ash is like, wait, don't leave me behind. And then eventually they jump off a cliff into a raging river, like you do when you're being chased by wild animals.
And you see Gyarados.
And then that's where the episode ends, because they've jumped into a torrential river with a Gyarados in it, and they die.
No, Misty catches them on a rod somehow. It's really weird. And they get pulled out of the river, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
How is that supposed to work? Have you seen Misty's arms?
She's got secret strength, my dude. The rules of physics don't apply in the world of Pokemon. You know that.
Yeah, that's true. And all this running and being attacked by Spearows has really messed up Pikachu. And Misty's like, is it still breathing? And Ash is like, I think so. And she's like, oh, you better get to the hospital. And he's like, what? Where's that? And she sort of points down the road, and he steals her bike.
He's like, I'll return it later, person who I don't know the name of and I met randomly in the woods. No, you won't. You're just stealing that bike, Ash. You have no intention of returning it.
He says someday.
Yeah, he's a jerk.
He even knows that he's done something that he might need some time to, He's like, someday. Not later, someday.
Someday, maybe, eventually, I'll get this back to you, probably. Is what he should have said. Then he crashes the bike, busts it up real good. And he's like, Pikachu, my dude, there are so many Spearows chasing us. And if you just get in this Pokeball, I think I can protect you. But you gotta get inside, because I can't help you otherwise. And then he stands up to the Spearows, and he's like, do you know who I am? My name is Ash Ketchum, and I'm destined to be the greatest Pokemon master in the whole world. I won't be defeated by the likes of you. And I'm like, dude, you got beat up by a Pidgey. What are you talking about?
He did get beat up by a Pidgey. And these are a lot more aggressive birds. Like, Spearow is really trying to mess them up at this point. And it's at this point, Pikachu seeing Ash stand up for not just Ash, but for Pikachu as well, that Pikachu sort of finds his strength, I guess, and decides to not get in the Pokeball, but use the lightning to essentially knock out a whole flock of Spearow. It's really kind of cool.
It's super cool. He just, like, messes up the whole cloud of them, because, I don't know if you know this, but Flying type are weak against electric type, so that's a good move to use.
And for some strange reason, that also clears up the rainstorm that's been happening for the last little bit, and we get a scene of Misty's bike just like absolutely crashed. It's like burnt up and destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ash wakes up next to Pikachu, and he's like, you're the best. It sort of ends the episode with seeing this rare legendary bird-type Pokemon that's flying off, and the Pokedex is like, there's no information on that Pokemon.
The Pokedex is like, you got me, buddy, I don't know.
Yeah.
How about you look something up once in a while?
Ash picks up Pikachu and he heads into the next town, I guess.
Yep. I forgot that Ho-Oh was in that opening episode, the legendary Pokemon that flies over. I mean, that's super cool. But then I love the narrator. I mean, listen, I'm not a huge anime fan, but this is one of the things I do like about anime, is that a lot of anime has an omniscient narrator who is really excited about the show. I mean, on Dragon Ball Z, you've got the guy who's like, on the next episode of Dragon Ball Z! And I love that guy. He's the best.
And in Pokemon, there's another one, and he's so invested in this world for some reason. And he's just like, let's follow Ash on his adventures. That sort of voice.
If I could, I would love to read the outro, because I think it's just wonderful. So he goes, this is just the beginning of the amazing adventures of Ash and Pikachu. Their journey is destined to be packed with nonstop action, millions of laughs, heart-pounding perils, and endless excitement. Together, they'll encounter fantastic friends, evil enemies, and meet creatures beyond their wildest imagination. And as their story unfolds, we'll unlock the magic and mystery of a most wondrous place, the incredible world of Pokemon. Hell yeah, man! That sounds dope!
Why do you think we all got addicted to this show as a kid? It was this first episode. You see this first episode and you're like, yes, I'm invested. I want to see more of this. Where are these Pokemon and where can I get them?
They're everywhere in the world and it looks so cool. And there's big ones and there's flocks of Spearows and there's Gyarados in the water. It just, everything about this is fantastic. And then that outro just like sets you up so well to be like, this is going to be so good. It's so good. I love it. I think it's a great outro. I think it's a great episode. There's only one thing that this episode's missing for me. Actually, there's two things. One is, when you watch this show on Netflix, we don't get Who's That Pokemon. And that bums me out. Because I like Who's That Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. Because there's no ad breaks. They sort of cut out all the Who's That Pokemon. What would be really good is if they put it at, like, the end of the episode, all those bits. So you could, like, pause it and be like, oh, that's that Pokemon, and then play it and be like, oh, that's that Pokemon.
If you never watched this show when it was on TV, Who's That Pokemon is a thing they do when they go to commercial, like, right before the commercial plays, it goes, Who's That Pokemon? And it shows a silhouette of a Pokemon. And then when it comes back from commercial, it goes, it's Pikachu! And then the episode comes back on. And
actually, it's more like, who's that Pokemon? And it's like, oh shit, is that Voltorb?
Is that Voltorb or Electrode? I'm not sure.
Who else could that be? Round. Is it Clefairy?
Is it Clefairy squatting? Is it a Jigglypuff with her feet tucked in?
Oh, no, they really did one... that one time where it was just a circle and it's like, who's that Pokemon? And then it cuts back and it's the top of Clefairy's head and then it rotates and it showed Clefairy.
That's awesome. I love it. It's,
I was like,
I like the idea of a show trolling its audience. Yeah, I think that's all I got for this one. I like this episode a lot.
It draws you in. I personally, I'm probably gonna watch more than the three episodes once we get to the end of the run. I'll probably watch the whole first season.
It's really easy to watch. It's an easy one to just put on in the background, and there's some real gems in here. You got the Squirtle Squad later on. You got Jigglypuff. You got Togepi. Like, there's some really good stuff that comes up in this show. I remember the other thing that's missing from this episode. Is MC
angry Jiggly?
What?
I'm just remembering all the angry Jigglypuff scribbling on people's faces.
Yep. MC, you know what's missing from this episode? Team Rocket's not here.
Oh yeah.
And now I'm gonna put in an explosion sound effect, and then there's the explosion sound effect, and then we're gonna say blasting off again. And that's how I'm gonna end the episode.
Okay, fair enough.
Maybe, unless you say something funnier right now.
No, I'm not going to. I'm not that funny.
No.
No.
All right, we'll just end it there then.
I was gonna do a Brock impression.
Oh yeah, Brock's not here either.
No. No, it's Joy. Oh, what's her name? God damn it. Officer Jenny, that's who it is.
Mm-hmm.
He's always going on about them.
Do you think Brock's gonna be problematic now? Like, as like, it's 2019 and Brock needs to learn to respect women's boundaries.
He was always problematic. The point is that none of them took him seriously enough. Like, none of them. Like, he never got with any of them. And there's literally thousands of Officer Jennies and Nurse Joys.
Does that ever get explained in a satisfactory way?
I think once or twice, family photos are brought up, and shown, and they all have slightly different haircuts and stuff, but,
I mean,
yeah, it's weird.
They're androids, right? Like,
they
gotta be something?
I just think they're family.
They're identical, and they have the same name. Who would do that?
Thanks for listening to The Best Animated Shows Ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFcast or email us at BaseSFcast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFcast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work
for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.
My name's Tyler, and I host the podcast Too Young for This Hit, where I watch movies I've never seen before with guests who love them. So what kind of movies do we watch? We watch mostly like classics movies, you know, like
Escape from New York,
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure,
Alien,
Wayne's World, Party Time, Excellent,
Aliens,
Smokey and the Bandit,
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
In addition to talking about movies, we also talk about cats. A lot. For pretty much no reason. You can find Too Young for This Hit and tons of other great podcasts at probablywork.com.